السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذ فرقنا بكم البحر فأنجيناكم وأغرقنا آل فرعون وأنتم تنظرون. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. ثم أما بعد. We're on ayah number 50 of Surah Al-Baqarah, the reminder to Bani Israel of some of the favors Allah had done to them historically and some of their crimes is continuing. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَإِذْ فَرَقْنَا بِكُمُ الْبَحْرِ, and remind yourselves when we parted, especially for you, we parted the ocean or the sea. فَأَنْجَيْنَاكُمْ, then we rescued you. Notice before the word for rescuing was نَجَّيْنَا, and this time it's أَنْجَيْنَا. In the if'al, in this pattern, it implies that the action was complete. In other words, once the water was parted and they crossed, there's no more need for rescuing. The action is complete. But before this, they were saved from total annihilation on several occasions, so the word najjayna was more appropriate. Anyhow, وَأَغْرَقْنَا أَلَى فِرْعَوْنَ, and we caused the lineage, the descendants of Fir'aun, to drown. وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ, while it is you all were staring. And, you know, in one place in the Qur'an, Allah puts synonyms together as far as seeing is concerned. There's ra'a, basara, and navara. But in this ayah particularly, Allah mentions وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. And navara comes a lot in the story of Musa alayhi salam. تَصُرُ النَّاظِرِينَ. It's going to come in the case of the cow, you know, and it causes the attention of the people. Similarly, when he took out his hand and it turned white, Allah says بَيْضَى لِلنَّاظِرِينَ. Incredible events, or especially visually incredible events, they make people stare at them. So you don't just look at it or glance at it, you can't take your eyes off of it. And that kind of looking or staring even is captured in the Arabic word nazara. So Allah says, وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ, in other words, you were the ones who were standing there staring at him being drowned. You were the one who were witness to it and you couldn't take your eyes off of it. And in Jewish historical accounts, we find that the Jews were actually convinced, a group among them, that he can't be killed. He is a kind of God, that he can't be killed. And so they couldn't believe their eyes when they watched Fir'aun and his followers drown. So they were staring at this in shock. وَإِذْ وَاعَدْنَا مُوسَىٰ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً. And so now there's a sequence, actually. This part of it is chronologically sequenced. First the humiliation, then their escape from Egypt. Now they're on the other side, and Allah calls Musa alayhi salam. Allah says, and remind yourselves, when we called Musa to fulfill our promise, أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً, for a period of 40 nights. So Musa alayhi salam is called for 40 nights. Now understand, if there was any doubt that he is Allah's messenger, the fact that he helped them escape through the water should remove that doubt. I mean, up until you're on this side of the water and you could see the dust rising of Fir'aun's armies and you're like, what have you brought us to our death? You know, I knew, I had some thought in my head that this was a bad idea, but now I know this is crazy. But then when the water parts, any doubt you may have had, he's definitely the messenger of Allah, you know? Now that he's gone on the other side and they've escaped, and you know, Allah will tell us the favors of Allah on the other side as well later on. But now that you're absolutely convinced he's Allah's messenger and Allah has done this great favor to him and through him to all of you, Allah calls him for 40 nights. When he calls him for 40 nights, what do they do in his absence? ثُمَّ اتَّخَذْتُمُ الْعِجْلَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. Thereafter, you held on to the calf. The calf is a baby cow, right? Al-ajl. Even after him. Even after, now مِنْ بَعْدِهِ is very interesting. Because min here is harf al-ta'ajjub. You could say ba'dahu in Arabic, but min ba'dihi. Even after what everything that he has done, and he's gone to fulfill the promise with Allah, even after that you are able to hold on to this calf and worship it. The reason I'm mentioning this, and the language has so much shock and disappointment in it, is because they had reached a point where there should have been no more room for skepticism. And there should have been absolute obedience and allegiance with Musa alayhi salam. After all, he's the one who has helped them, you know, get them to victory by Allah's permission. وَأَنْتُمْ ظَالِمُونَ, and you were the ones who were wrongdoers. And this أَنْتُمْ ظَالِمُونَ is also talked about. Because they actually, the Israelites, and this is a sentiment they even hold until today, they blame God for a lot of things. They blame God for a lot of things. And they even at the time of Musa alayhi salam, they would blame Musa alayhi salam and say, how come your God doesn't help us out? What kind of food is this? How come we don't get better menu items on the menu and things like that? But even today, even in our times, very recently, actually, I was traveling And next to me was an old Jewish couple. And I was just going over some Quran, and they said, "What's that in your hand? What are you reading?" I was like, "This is Quran, you know, our book of Revelation, and I'm just reviewing what I've memorized." And they're like, "Read some of it to us." So I was like, "Okay, these people are interesting." So I recited some of it to them, and they said, "You know, we recite our book too." And they started talking about the Torah. I was, "Okay, this is cool." So we just started talking, and all of a sudden, and this married couple were Holocaust, they were Holocaust survivors. Halfway through the conversation, he tells me, "I don't believe in God." I was like, "What? A second ago, you were just telling me how you read your book, and how you have this book, this tradition, and you're very spiritual, this and that. No, we don't believe in it. Why don't you believe in God? How could he let this happen to us? How could he let the Holocaust happen? How could he let this happen, or that happen, or the other happen?" In other words, they attribute wrongdoing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something they did before, and they continue to do this today. A group among them, at least. We can't paint everybody with the same brush, but the sentiment is there. The sentiment is there. So wa antum zalimun. And then Allah Azza wa Jal, continuing to them, he says, "Thumma afawna ankum min ba'di dhalik." Then we pardoned you lovingly. This is afu in Arabic. Afu is not just to forgive, because you could forgive someone grudgingly too. But when forgiving someone lovingly, that's afu. So we pardoned you lovingly. In other words, we cleaned the slate. Like, I'll give you a new chance. مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So that you may be grateful. Now, how did Allah forgive them? That's coming a little bit later. وَإِذْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ وَالْفُرْقَانَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. And when we gave Musa alayhi salam the book and the criterion. Difficult English word. Book in Arabic, also in Semitic tradition, and also in some elements of English literature. The word book doesn't just mean book, it also means law. It also means constitution or law. And of course, the Islamic term we use all the time is Sharia. Even though that's not technically a term used for that purpose in the Quran, the word for that purpose in the Quran is Kitab. When Allah makes something mandatory, makes it part of Sharia, He says, Kutiba alaykum, or He says, Kitab Allahi alaykum. The law of Allah binding upon you, as in the book of Allah binding upon you. I give this example often, even in English literature, you could say, you know, if a judge is using the law to punish someone, they'll say the judge threw the book at him. Right? That doesn't mean he took a phone book and hit the plaintiff. It means he used the full extent of the law against him. Right? So the word Allah says here, وَآتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابِ. We gave Musa alayhi salam the law. That's one very strong implication of the text. وَالْفُرْقَانِ. Furqan is from faraq. And you know, وَإِذْ فَرَقْنَا بِكُلْمُ الْبَحْرَ has already come. Farq in Arabic is to distinguish two things and to make them apart from each other and to cause a distance, a chasm between them. Furqan implies a book that came that made sure you understand right from wrong. And there's a clear gap between the two. So you're never ambiguous, is this right or wrong? It became very clear the things you're supposed to do and the things you're not supposed to do. There's no confusion left. And this is interesting about the word clarity in Arabic too. Furqan is one word, criterion, something that categorizes things categorically. But then there's the word bayan, which comes from bayin actually. Bayin is to have a separation between two things and to put them apart from each other. From it comes the word bayan, mubin, tibyan, you know, these words. So clarity in Arabic has a lot to do with things being separated from each other. And of course, when things are mixed together, you can't tell one ingredient from the other, you know. And so that there's a confusion there, what ingredient is this, what material is this? So that's how they talk about clarity. So Allah revealed this to them for what purpose? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. So that you may be guided. Now again, it's difficult to translate this, because ihtida in Arabic is not just to be guided. Ihtida comes from ifti'al rather, which implies you putting an effort. So you may make an effort towards guidance, is actually a more literary translation of تَهْتَدُونَ. Ihtida, muhtad. Muhtad is not just someone who's guided, because that's actually Mahdi in Arabic. The literal equivalent of someone who's guided is Mahdi, ism maf'ul, right? From hada yahdi. Okay, so had is the guide, and Mahdi, the one who's guided. But muhtad is an ism fa'il, the one who makes an effort towards guidance, who makes an effort to be guided. So Allah said, I gave you the book, the only thing left now was for you to do was to make the effort. It's like saying, I've given you the road, now you just have to walk it. Walking is your effort, but not knowing which road, that had to come from Allah. Allah sent the road, made it clear. Now it's time for your effort. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. Then he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ. This is again in regards to what they had done in worshipping the calf. He says, and when Musa said to his nation. Now understand why Allah mentioned this issue separately. You know, he mentioned the cow first, and then he two separate issues came up, and then he came back to the cow. Why? Because the two separate issues were, number one, I pardoned you in the end. In other words, he's going to give us a historical explanation of how did they earn that pardon, number one. Number two is, the thing they were told to do to get Allah's forgiveness was part of Allah's book, was part of the law that was given to them, that was very, very clear. And the purpose, the following of the law would be for what purpose? So that you can be guided, you can commit to guidance. Now let's see. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ يَا قَوْمِ إِنَّكُمْ ظَلَمْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. When Musa said, alayhi salam, to his nation, my nation, it is you, no doubt, that have wronged your own selves, بِاتِّخَاذِكُمُ الْعِجْلَ, by you holding on so vehemently to the calf. فَتُوبُوا إِلَى بَارِئِكُمْ. Then make tawbah, repent towards your master. Bari is interesting because it's used a lot more in Hebrew for Allah Azza wa Jal. But Bari is also, it's related to the meaning of the word Rabb as well. So I'll translate as master and Lord. فَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Then kill yourselves. Now it's very difficult to understand that at first glance. When Allah says, make tawbah to your master and kill yourselves. What does that mean? It actually means each tribe. How many tribes of the Jews were there? There were 12 tribes. Each tribe had some members who had committed the crime of worshipping the calf. Now worshipping the calf is an act of leaving Islam, isn't it? You've done shirk after you became Muslim. What is that called in Arabic? You know, when someone leaves Islam? It's called a murtad. It's called a murtad, someone who leaves Islam. And they make a big controversy about this on Fox and CNN and this and that. Oh, your Islamic law is very harsh. If you leave Islam, then you have to be executed. You're a murtad, you know? And they'll make a big deal out of it. Now listen, the law of Riddah in our Sharia is not new. It's a continuation of what was revealed to Musa alayhi salam. The law of Riddah explicitly is not mentioned anywhere in Quran. Actually, it's confirmation from what was already there with Musa alayhi salam. How come? Each tribe had some people who worshipped the calf, right? Now Allah's law came when he says, anfusakum, your own people, kill your own selves. It means kill the members of your own tribes. Each of you must find the culprits who worship the calf after clearly knowing that Musa is Allah's messenger and they shouldn't be doing shirk. The first teaching of every messenger is not to do shirk. So they clearly knew that. Now you have to pay for that crime. The only way you will earn tawbah as a nation is you execute the members of your nation who have committed this crime. This is not Islamic history. This is, if you want to call it, Jewish history. This is the who at that time, they were the Muslims of that time. فَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. And then this sounds like a very harsh thing. So Allah Azza wa Jal, make sure you don't get confused about whether this is a good thing or a bad thing. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ عِنْدَ بَارِئِكُمْ. This is better for you. As far as your master is concerned, this is better for you. عِنْدَ بَارِئِكُمْ is important, because as far as you're concerned, this is a bad thing. And Allah says, as far as the master is concerned, this is a good thing. So فَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ عِنْدَ بَارِئِكُمْ فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Then in that case, he will have accepted your tawbah. If you do this, if you follow Allah's command, then your repentance will be accepted. And in this we find another very powerful lesson that I'll conclude with. إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. No doubt he is the one that continually accepts repentance and is constantly merciful. The lesson here is, the tawbah to Allah, Allah offered his tawbah to them, but after they obey Allah's command. Now they historically became a people who assumed that tawbah is guaranteed for them. They don't have to earn it, it's already guaranteed for them. They're saved people. And because of that, they became lax with the law. Another nation came after them, the Christians of course, who abandoned the law altogether. And their idea of earning God's repentance was through the blood of Christ. He sacrificed so I don't have to pay for my sins. You know, that was the other, you know, deviated theology. Muslim understanding of tawbah. First you obey Allah, then you're in a position to ask for forgiveness. And if you do, after obeying Allah, after obeying His commandments, you ask Allah to forgive, that door is constantly open. That will always be open. So that is the lesson we take home from this. May Allah make us people of proper tawbah to Allah, and may Allah accept all of our tawbah. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim, wa nafa'ni wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. Assalamu alaikum.